Now the rabbis have used this passage, like verse 18, where it says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. They used this in other passages, like when God gave Moses the law of Sinai, then God gave him also the interpretation that they call the oral law. And so all that traditions, they say, are God-given. But what we see here is really how close a communion there was between God and his messenger, between God and his spokesperson, the prophet, that God would put words in his mouth. So what that means, that the Lord Jesus, when he spoke on God's behalf, he expressed exactly what was in God's mind. There was no deviation whatsoever. He expressed exactly what God wanted him to express. So when we think of a prophet, the foreteller, it means he is God's spokesman. And that is why it's so important to see that God identified him and anointed him, because God was speaking. And of course, we heard earlier, he is God himself. But through this blessed man, God was speaking. And so this is already prophesied here in this passage by Moses, that there would one day be a prophet whom God will raise. There have been counterfeits who raised themselves, but God would raise this prophet who is very similar to Moses in many ways, and from their own midst. And we can see that in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus came, this was all fulfilled. He came from the tribe of Judah and so on. Of thy brethren, that's important. He was not a stranger. He came according to God's plan. You can see in Genesis 49 how the tribe of Judah was identified in that connection. There are many details in Scripture that show how God fulfilled this of thy brethren, and then like unto me. Why? Moses was so close to God. God had direct communications with Moses, not with anybody else. You know that in Numbers 12, for example. And so this is what we see. But Hebrews 3 shows clearly how much the Lord Jesus is greater than Moses. Mm. And so we have to see that all the time, better and greater. And so this is an important passage to show that the Lord Jesus would speak on God's behalf, and therefore also with authority. And so it implies you better listen to him.
I think it might be good to realize too that the evidence of a true prophet was that which he spoke came to pass. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were words of truth. Because there is a counterfeit God who raises counterfeit prophets and wreaks havoc in this world, and even in Christian circles, and certainly amongst the Lord's people in any age. And so, how nice to hear the words of Peter. Who else has words of truth but you? You know, are you going to leave as well? Who else has words of truth but you?
Let's remember that according to 1 John 1, he is the Word. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is also interesting that every time God desires to introduce this blessed prophet, like Hebrews, the only book that starts with the word God. Mm-hmm. When you come to Deuteronomy chapter 18, Jehovah, thy God, God right away comes into the picture, mm-hmm. because the purpose behind it is God wants to make himself known. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God brings this God into the picture right away. And the beauty of it is that there need to be a little contrast, although the Spirit of God brings before us the dignity of Moses himself as a prophet. Because nevertheless, like unto thee or like unto me. Mm-hmm. But there need to be a contrast, like Brother Alfred reminded us, he's greater than Moses. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important that God is engaging the hearts of a prophet to come? Mm-hmm. That is amongst you, brethren, that's the incarnation. But also that I will put my words and making much of that prophet to come. You see, there need to be this contrast, because Moses spoke the mind of God. But he also spoke things that wasn't right for him to speak. Mm. Right? That's a prophet. The scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy, there was no prophet like Moses. There was no one to come close to this person of Moses. But yet Moses came short. But this prophet we're talking about, the blessed Lord Jesus, and God is highlighting it in a word of prophecy, he said, this is going to be greater than Moses. Because although Moses came short and he said certain things in his lips that he should not have uttered, this blessed one, that when he speaks, all are going to marvel, not only of the gracious words that came out of his mouth, but they also marveled, for he spoke with authority. And this is where the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that really exceeds way Moses. Because Moses said to them, unto him ye shall hearken. It's the same ministry, I shouldn't say ministry. It's the same voice of God on the Transfiguration Mountain. When he was transfigured, he says, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The same words, ye shall hearken unto him, hear ye him, are the same. So God said it in a way of prophecy. God said it also when he was present on earth. This is the one. Ye hear everything he tells you, because he is the one that is anointed by me.
I'd like to follow that up by referring to Acts 3, verse 22. Acts 3, 22, Peter quotes this very same passage that we have here before us in Deuteronomy 18, and he shows very clearly this is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is that prophet. He fulfills that passage. So you better listen to him. But they did not want to listen to him. They had rejected him during his earthly ministry, and now they were rejecting him as he was speaking as the great prophet from heaven. And so this is a very solemn passage where Peter then also shows it's not only Moses that spoke of him. You see in Acts 3:24, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. They were pointing to this great prophet. And yet now these people were rejected him. And they were, in verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets. So how solemn was their responsibility. And yet they rejected him. And yet God gave them a chance, verse 26, unto you first. God, having raised up his son, has sent him to bless you. So that is God's grace towards the people of Israel. That is God's grace that is still presenting itself through this great prophet to this world. He is still speaking.
I think that's such a great point. And if you look at the context of Deuteronomy 18, what you find is that the people were intimidated by the presentation of God on the mount. He presented himself in fire and thunder and in a voice that they went away from. And so what grace it is that God shows that he wants to communicate his mind in such a way that it's not intimidating as far as the awesomeness of the greatness of who God is. He dwells in light that none can approach. You can't even fathom what it means to come in contact with the infinite holiness, the infinite righteousness of God. And yet in grace, he is now coming out to man in such a way that man can now hear what he has to say and what he is saying.
How beautiful.
If we go back to Deuteronomy, still here in chapter 18, I think there's something here too that we can probably look at, and how you have to test prophets. You know the Lord Jesus is the only true prophet. But in verse 19 it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my word, which he shall speak in my name, I require of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken, hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. And then we have the admonition of the Lord Jesus in Matthew Matthew chapter 7, where he talks about false prophets that we have to beware of. In verse 15, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, where the Lord says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is pruned down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So the Lord is speaking of false prophets that we have in the world today.